I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston downtown with essential team player Shannon McCurchy. You know, the late artist and activist Mary Lou Cook concluded that creativity is inventing, experimenting, growing, taking risks, breaking rules, and having fun. And that's a tall order, even for the most colorful thinker. Still, each week, soul-filled storytellers take us on astonishing journeys with fanciful folk tales and profound narratives, all laced with vision and wrapped with a desire to connect, to be heard. Every So What's Your Story guest does all this, but none do it better than students from Johnston Middle School. And thanks to their devoted teacher, Vinnie Ault, these students see the world as a blank canvas to their imagination and have so far scattered their canvases with a kaleidoscope of brilliant visions. So enjoy, because tonight on December 11th, you're going to witness some staggering pieces composed by some of the most original young thinkers this city has to offer. 12-year-old Ambar Caldwell loves to write. She also loves theater. She played Gertrude in Seussical and is currently in Annie, where she plays Miss Hannigan. Ambar is an avid reader, gravitating toward adventure and mystery novels whenever she has the chance. Her favorite series is Land of Stories by Chris Colfer. She plans to pursue musical theater and singing at Juilliard School of Performing Arts. When she isn't writing, sixth grader Shelby Edison acts, sings, and plays the cello. She also loves to travel and has been into London, Rome, Costa Rica, and Tanzania. She also loves her dog, Roxy, and Roxy was our last, my niece, right? Right, Shannon, we love this. This is great. Roxy was our last engineer. She's doing some morning gig, I don't know, but Roxy's a popular name around here. She also plans to attend film school and one day hopes to work for Pixar. How you guys doing?
Great, good.
What do you mean, great and good? Aren't you excited?
Yeah.
Yes. You're nervous wrecks. We all know that. You're in here. You're taking pictures. The entire world is watching you. I've told you that 11 different countries are tuning in right now, all across the world. Did I tell you that? Does that increase your anxiety?
A little bit.
Well, that's good. That's my goal. Right. Ambar, you turned to poetry in the third grade as a way to express yourself. Now, before you tell us why poetry was your genre choice, what were other ways that you used to express yourself?
Well, I love to talk.
Really?
Yes. It's just kind of a fun thing that I like to do. Mm-hmm, I like to talk a lot. Mm-hmm. And I also like to sing, so that kind of adds to it.
You sing in the shower?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of songs do you sing in the shower?
Well, anything that's stuck in my head, you know, like on the radio.
Does it make you feel cleaner?
I guess.
Yeah, good. Just checking.
So, and writing was kind of that other piece that allowed me to speak what I was thinking.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. You know, I love talking to you guys at school because you are so expressionistic. And, you know, expression isn't just important, it's everything. And I talk about that all the time. And you really do punctuate that point. I have many times said that. And you guys from Johnston Middle School are just unbelievable communicators, and I can't say that enough, because every time I have you on, we do things that are remarkable, every time. But why poetry? So what does poetry do that the other modes of expression do not do for you?
Well, poetry is kind of like, almost like a lullaby, because it has this rhythm to it that gives it this kind of, I don't know, this specialness to it that draws me to it.
That's a beautiful description. You know, you can forget about the iambic pentameter. The idea is that it has a rhythm, it has a beat. It's something memorable, right? They're a little more abstract. Poetry is kind of abstract, are they? What do you think? In other words, when you write a poem, the ideas are a little more abstract. It's a little more up to the interpretation of the reader.
Well, to me, poetry is kind of like someone's opinion, someone's thoughts, someone's feelings.
Yeah.
Someone's ideas on the world, their views, their ideas, what they see.
And you do it so descriptively. Shelby, you know, now you told me that you wrote picture books for your cousin when you were in the third grade and that you made these books for what I think is an amazing and even intuitive reason. Give us a sense of what that reason is.
Well, I had never had a cousin before, and to make things even better, it was a girl. And I felt like I was going to have someone that I could really relate to. And whenever I had free time, I just started writing books for her because I wanted our relationship to be really special. And then after writing the little picture books, I realized that I could use writing as a way to express myself.
That's amazing. I was blown away by this. Now, it also does something else. You were talking about a story about a little girl in France with a cupcake store. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us where that came from.
I love cupcakes, and I love France, and I pull them together and made myself a version of the character and wrote as if I was her.
Unbelievable. Really, what a beautiful point of view and a beautiful, beautiful perspective. You really leave your body, float up to the ceiling, and come up with this point of view, which is just a knockout. That's beautiful. Ambar, your story is entitled A Family Concoction. What inspired you to write this?
I love the fact that I'm a part of a bicultural family because it's full of different stories and different memories from growing up. And I thought it'd be a good choice to spread these ideas by putting them into this story.
Yeah. Let's hear it. We're going to love this.
Many different cultures celebrate many different things, although mixing them can be quite the concoction. My parents met at a wedding on August 20th, 1995. It was a crisp, cool evening as the heat of the sun became less intense. My father was walking towards the bride-to-be when suddenly he spotted her. She was wearing a long, sleeveless vanilla dress with golden trim and a small flower pinned in her hair. As he remembers, tiny dark brown curls trickled down her face like rain as she prompted herself for the pictures. My father knew she was the one. 1 year later, they were married, and so two different cultures combined. My mother was born December 30th, 1971, in the capital of the Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo, the Jose and Ana. She grew up close to the ocean. Her pets were many of the creatures that lurked around the crystal waters. She grew up amongst the many fruits and vegetables that grew around her. If you would have stepped out into her backyard, you'd be surrounded by vines and trees filled with sweet passion fruits and mangoes, vegetable garden filled with almonds and more. Where she lived, people were classified by social economics rather than by race. She grew up in a neighborhood surrounded by family members and close family friends. Everyone knew everyone and kept a close eye on each other's children. If a kid misbehaved, it sometimes got around and right to their parents. It was a real community, unlike today, where we don't know a single thing about someone who lives right next door to us. Although she lived right near the beach, her life wasn't always quite the vacation. Her family's economic state was very poor, and her family struggled to make ends meet. Because of these circumstances, she had to grow up when she was very little. She held major responsibilities. Maintaining the house was one of her daily chores. But it was when she was very young she developed her love for the art of cooking. Her grandmother Maria was an excellent cook and nurtured her likes for cooking. She remembers the wafts of seasonings that came from the cooking pots. For the holidays, cooking was a multiple-day process. Meats were seasoned for at least a day. Long tables were filled with different dishes. Family members from the States brought apples and grapes. She only got these during the holidays, since they didn't grow in the Dominican Republic. And so, through the connection she had with her grandmother and food, she developed an extraordinary connection with her inner passion for cooking. My father was born October 10, 1967, to Lerna and Thomas in Houston, Texas. Christmas has always been an exciting time for my father as a child. His older brother Terry and his younger brother Thomas were also extremely pumped for the Christmas season. They would wake up extra early in the morning to rip open their presents. One time when they were supposed to be asleep, but they weren't, they heard their parents wrapping presents, and under the cracks of the door, they could see bikes, action figures, and piles of toys they never could have imagined. Every Christmas morning, the entire family, cousins, aunts, uncles, would leave to go have Christmas breakfast at his Aunt Madeira's house. That's the day he fell in love with grits and cheese. Warm, snow-like grits covered in melted cheese sat in front of him. It was the ultimate Christmas breakfast. As the day went on, presents were unwrapped, talking and laughing filled the room. The women cooked brisket, ham, turkey, greens, macaroni, and sweet potatoes. Music played as the family danced around. One fateful Christmas morning, Marvin Zindler, a famous reporter, came to the Christmas breakfast. And so, through my father's childhood and to this day, Christmas has always been a holiday to bring joy and cheer to a cold winter's year. Together, My father and my mother had brought two totally different and diverse cultures and turned them into one beautiful concoction. Every Christmas, my father and my younger brother bring out the old faithful 9-foot-tall, light-up Christmas tree back for what hopefully means another year, while my mother and I prepare the many main dishes. We bring back the rice and beans from my mother's childhood and the warm, cheesy grits and brisket from my father's. New foods have made their way into our family. Peach cobbler and fried rice now line up at the table. Food is the bond that holds these two cultures together, for now and forevermore.
What a beautiful story. All right, what a beautiful, beautiful story. You have a beautiful sense of meaning of words, and that unfolded really magnificently. You enjoyed telling that story, didn't you?
Yes.
It's kind of a love story. But, you know, I finally found a fault in you. Your parents are too young. They're not allowed to be that young, and they can't be in that much love. It's ridiculous. Nobody is that young. You know, that's disgusting. What a beautiful... We need you to come back on Valentine's Day. That was a beautiful, beautiful story.
Thank you.
That was just gorgeous. You know, when you talk about those sorts of things, I'm always reminded about how diversity is a blessing. It's never a constraint.
Right.
And we tend to forget that. And I think that's the real parable. That's the real lesson that we extract from that. But, you know, you talk about all the cultural niceties, all the idiosyncrasies, the affection, the love, the food, the connectivity, and the transformation when people get together. And I just love that. That is a beautiful, beautiful story.
Thank you.
That is really great. This is Hank Rubicek with Shannon McCurchy, and you are listening to Johnson Middle School Student Tellers, Shelby Edison and Umbar Caldwell on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston or KPFT.org if you're listening online. But whatever channel you've chosen, we are awfully pleased that you joined us. Umbar, what is the most important thing that you want us to get from that story, please?
I want them to know that every family has a connection, and every family has a story.
Yeah.
You just have to dig deep and try to find them.
Yeah, everybody has a story. It's sort of like every family has a crazy person, right?
Kind
of story.
Yeah.
And if you don't have one, you're not looking hard enough, right? Shelby. Curiosity and culture is the name of your story, and let me ask you the same question. What inspired you to craft this tale?
Well, I love the holiday season. I love Christmas carols, everything to do with Christmas, even though mm-hmm. I don't celebrate Christmas. But I love trying different cultures and experiencing those traditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you. You know, I don't celebrate Christmas. My wife does, and I have to tell you, I really love seeing that Christmas tree. It doesn't change my religion, but it makes me feel special. It makes me feel festive. And you're right, a holiday is a holiday, and people who celebrate it are inextricably connected, and that's all that really matters. This is going to be a great story. Share it with us, please.
I love the holiday season. I love the Christmas carols that drift into my ear on semi-cold winter breezes. I love the smell of peppermint and gingerbread and the blinking lights on houses as night falls. This seems normal for any average person, but I don't celebrate Christmas. I'm Jewish, and I celebrate Hanukkah. I can't explain this feeling I've always had to try something new. I have this sort of quality to me, this curiosity that tells me to try new things. Or in this case, celebrate a different tradition. I'm not being disloyal to my own culture. I just want to try to experience a different tradition than what I'm used to. This curiosity inside of me told me that I wanted to decorate a Christmas tree. And I really did. I yearned to hang ornament one after another on a pine tree, strangely set inside a person's living room. Lucky for me, my best friend Elizabeth, who celebrates Christmas, wanted to try celebrating Hanukkah. A deal was made. Elizabeth and her family would come over to my house to celebrate Hanukkah, and my family and I would go over to her house to decorate a Christmas tree. Soon before I knew it, Hanukkah arrived. This year, Hanukkah brought Elizabeth and her family, dressed in nice clothing, ringing my front door to escape the Texas winter. I ran to the door to let my guests in. Everyone came in, hung up their coats, and started to shuffle into the kitchen. Elizabeth handed me a little box tied with a blue ribbon. I smiled a thank you at her. We lit the candles on the menorah, a Hanukkah tradition, and then sat down for a delicious meal my mom had cooked. The menu included warm potato lakis, homemade applesauce, and fresh, juicy salmon. For dessert, we had cake balls decorated with little fondant menorahs and blue edible glitter. After successfully devouring 3 or 4 cake balls, it was time for presents. I opened the gift Elizabeth had given to me. It was a pink and gold beaded bracelet. "It's beautiful," I exclaimed. We danced and sang late into the night until it was time for Elizabeth to leave. Later, after Elizabeth left, I thought about my curiosity. Maybe I wasn't the only one with it. After all, Elizabeth wanted to step outside her culture and try celebrating something new. It was a lot like my fascination with a Christmas tree. Lots of people probably had this curiosity, only they didn't share it. Maybe they were afraid it would be offending to their own culture. Maybe they didn't want to have this curiosity. They just wanted to keep it all the same. Or maybe we will just never know. A few weeks later, I drove to Elizabeth's house with my family. I jingled the snowman ornament I had brought for Elizabeth's tree. The snowman wore a petite hat, a scarf, and said her name across its stomach. I sang jingle bells in my head until we pulled up to Elizabeth's house. I delivered my ornament to Elizabeth, and she ran to hang it on her tree. Her mom came in to explain how to decorate the tree. It was like a whole different language to me. Some ornaments were to hang on the branches like I was used to, but others filled the spaces in between the branches. The parents left to go into the next room and talk while Elizabeth and I decorated the tree. I tried hard not to break any ornaments. I set ornament after ornament on the branches. I backed up to admire my work, and I noticed something. The ornament I had just hung up had fallen to the floor and broke into 1,000 pieces. Horror and dread washed over me. How could I have done that? I must have been so caught up with decorating I didn't hear a crash. My eyes stung with tears. I had just blown my chance at trying a different tradition. Had my curiosity misled me? Was this tradition not for me? Elizabeth looked over at me. "Don't worry," she said. "We always break tons of ornaments." A smile came back to my face. I love trying different traditions, and I think that I will try decorating a Christmas tree again soon. Maybe when I grow up and have kids of my own, we will light a menorah and decorate a Christmas tree. Or maybe my curiosity will decide there is another tradition it wants to try, and I may just follow along with it.
Unbelievable. You really see that story, don't you, as you share it? Do you see that story? Do you envision it?
I envision it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you have a great sense of dialogue. You know, I'm a docent at the Holocaust Museum, and I've been doing that for years, and I always explain to kids that, you know, hate hasn't gone away. We really have to learn to tolerate. And that's a theme in both of your stories, isn't it? I mean, we really have to be able to merge understanding. And that's a beautiful, beautiful theme, especially during this time of the year. That's unbelievable. What's the most important thing we should get from your story, Cheryl Shelby?
I think I wanted people to get that if you celebrate one culture, it's okay to try another tradition.
Yeah.
You're just learning to accept other people, and it's nothing bad. You should be proud of it. You should embrace the curiosity.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's a very, very profound thought. It really is. It's a very profound thought. When I was growing up, my grandparents and my mother were Holocaust survivors, and they had experienced rituals and experiences that were different. And I guess they kind of got a pass because to them, you can only celebrate certain holidays and you can only have certain friends because they were terrified. You know what I'm saying? And that always bothered me because I was sort of taught not to trust. I think that's what can happen to people at one time or another. And that's why I think these stories are so extremely important because it tells us to trust, to understand that people and the human condition are there in order to help us understand anecdotes for narrow-mindedness and prejudice. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. I love the way the stories unfold in your mind. I know that Shannon's got her jaw open. I told you they were unbelievable. Let's put her to work. Well, give us your impressions, Shannon, of some of these talented ladies. You know, we have London and
wisdom,
Hemingway here.
A wisdom beyond your years is an understatement.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that
the
truth?
Oh, my goodness, guys.
Yeah.
You are the future writers of Houston.
Yeah. And Shannon is not a shabby writer herself because she studied. Yeah, you know, well, you're not. You know, she's a member of the Storytellers Guild. She's a really wonderful writer, and she does great stuff with Facebook, but she's also a terrific creative writer. She's worked on her master's degree at St. Thomas, so her thoughts are thoughts that you should take really, really, really seriously. Take my word for it. And also, you know, the impressions, Shannon, of the best storytellers group on the state in the state is something that you can share with us, too, because we know who they are.
Oh, yes. Hank, the Guild is our proud sponsor. And like you said, it's the best and most supportive place to learn to tell stories. The Guild holds their story swaps every month at on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray.
Thanks, Shannon. We just had a November meeting this past Tuesday. Great stuff this Saturday as the Guild will host one of its biggest events, Telebration, a day of worldwide storytelling with a slate of superb tellers charged with entertaining us at the Black Lab, which is a Houston institution in its own right, located at 4100 Montrose, this Saturday, November 22nd, from 6 to 9 p.m. Help me out, ladies.
And get this, admission is free. You heard that right, but drinks and dinner are on you. Call Scott Bumgardner at 713-816-3795 to reserve a seat. That's 713-816-3795. Go to the Guild's website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for more information.
That was my job, Shelby.
And while you're checking that out, visit the So What's Your Story Facebook page to read all about the latest news in storytelling. Shannon, what will we find there?
Well, Shelby, I will tell you everything from guest information to articles, information, and all the best storytelling events around the Houston area.
Unbelievable. You know, Johnson Middle School creative geniuses Shelby Edison and Ambar Caldwell on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. I'm Dr. Hank. You guys having fun?
Yes.
Yeah, how much fun are you having? Like 1 to 10. What would you do?
100.
Really, 100? Is it different than you thought it would be?
Well,
kind of, sort of?
Yes.
What do you, yeah? How's it different?
I didn't know what to expect.
I mean, other than the fact that I'm much handsomer and much smarter than you thought and clearly much younger looking. I know all of that. All of that is a given, and I don't want to have to go through that because everybody knows that. But other than that, what kind of fun are you having?
Well, this is a pretty awesome experience. Get on the radio. That's not something that happens every day to just anyone.
Yeah, your friends are listening.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah? So what are you going to say to them now? What do you want to say to him?
I want to give a shout-out to Anana Walker, who's probably listening right now, to my little brother, Orion, and my family and everyone in the broadcast journalism class who took the time to listen to my story.
Yeah, and boy, that class is some class, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But we've got, on December 11th, we got your pals coming in here, Carson Brown and Kayla Club. Carson cracked me up. He cracked me up. I just want to tell everybody that, you know, I'm sitting in the classroom with these marvelous young people, and there's an announcement, you know, across the PA system, and the announcement is we're going to now pledge allegiance, and the pledge of allegiance, you know, the flag of Texas. And we have a lot of teachers out today, and as a result, I don't know what they were, but, and then Carson, who I've never met before, is next to me, and he says, ah, the arsenic must have worked. And for some reason, I'm cracking up. I'm thinking, that was probably the single funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. The timing was totally flawless. It was totally flawless, and this guy's going to be here on December 11th. God only knows what he's going to do if he could do that. God, is he like that all the time?
Well, his brother's in my math class. But
yeah? Is his brother like that?
He's actually kind of quiet.
Kind of quiet. Okay. So we have frick and frack. We've got the two opposites going on here. Unbelievable. And Kayla, it was marvelous. And you really seem to have a very tight group going in there in broadcast journalism, right?
Definitely.
Broadcast journalism is an unbelievable subject. You very rarely hear that in schools anyway. But tell us a little bit about that class. Tell us about the class and about Miss Ault. Shelby, tell us a little bit about what you do in that class. And
then tell us
about Miss Ault.
It's just amazing because you learn what you're going to do. You go out and do it, and then you come back and tell everyone what you've done. And it's really this great interactive experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has it helped you gain an appreciation for film? I know that you love film.
Definitely.
Yeah. Why Pixar, by the way? I meant to ask you that. Why Pixar?
I always watch the bonus features in movies more,
than the actual movie. I'm really interested in all the behind the scenes
really
stuff.
Yeah.
And